So we go to 1938, the 1st of January. Welcome to you, New Year, in the course of which my perfection will be accomplished. Thank you in advance, O Lord, for everything your goodness will send me. Thank you for the cup of suffering from which I shall daily drink. Do not diminish its bitterness, O Lord, but strengthen my lips that, while drinking of this bitterness, they will know how to smile for love of you. More bitter, but we will smile. I thank you for your countless comforts and graces that flow down upon me each day like the morning dew, silently, imperceptibly, but no curious eye may notice, and which are known only to you and me, O Lord. For all this, I thank you as of today, because at the moment when you hand me the cup, my heart may not be capable of giving thanks. So today, I submit myself completely and with nothing consents to your holy will, O Lord, and to your most wise decrees, which are always full of clemency and mercy for me. Though at times I can neither understand nor fathom them. So at times we don't understand. We know it's a blessing, but how come it be a blessing? So hard. So taste this. O my Master, I surrender myself completely to you, who are the rooter of my soul. Steer it yourself according to your divine wishes. I enclose myself in your most compassionate heart, which is a sea of unfathomable mercy. I'm ending the old year with suffering and beginning the new one with suffering as well. So it's already foreseen. 2 days before the new year, I had to go to bed. I was feeling very bad, and a violent cough was weakening me. And together with this, a constant pain in my intestines and nausea had brought me to the point of exhaustion. Although I could not join in community prayer, I united myself spiritually with the whole community. When the sisters got up at 11 o'clock at night to keep vigil and welcome the new year, I had been writhing in agony since nightfall, and this lasted until midnight. I united my sufferings with the prayers of the sisters who were keeping vigil in the chapel and atoning for God for offenses of sinners. When the clock struck 12, my soul immersed itself more deeply in recollection, and I heard a voice in my soul, "Do not fear, my little child. You are not alone. Fight bravely, because my arm is supporting you. Fight for the salvation of souls, exhorting them to trust in my mercy, as that is your task in this life and in the life to come." After these words, I received a deep understanding of divine mercy. Only that soul who wants it will be damned, for God condemned no one. Today is a feast of the new year, I felt so bad in the morning that I barely managed to go to the next cell to receive Holy Communion. I could not go to Mass because I felt so sick. And I made my Thanksgiving in bed too. I wanted so much to go to Mass and then to confession to Father Andres. But I felt so bad that I could go neither to Mass nor to confession. And because of this, my soul suffered a great deal. After breakfast, the sister infirmarian, Sister Chrysostom, came along and asked, "Sister, why didn't you go to church, to Mass?" I answered that I couldn't. She shook her head disdainfully and said, "Such a great feast, sister, and you don't even go to Mass?" And she left my cell. I'd been in bed for 2 days, breathing in pain, and she couldn't visit me. And when she did come on the third day, she didn't even ask if I were able to get up, but asked irritably why I hadn't got up for Mass, only to ask this question. "He's a nurse. He should ask, how are you?" The Lord to think this, "Why don't you go to Mass? Why don't you go to Mass?" Maybe she doesn't look so sick. That's might be the problem. She looks so fresh. You know, with the spirit, always you're always fresh. Although pain inside, the outside, you look so healthy. So the sister couldn't understand why you don't go to Mass. You look so lively. When I was alone, I tried to get up, but I was seized again with sickness. And so I stayed in bed with a calm conscience. Yet my heart had plenty to offer the Lord, joining itself spiritually to Him during the second Mass. After the second Mass, Sister Infirmarian returned to me, but this time in a capacity as Infirmarian, and with a thermometer, but no fever. Although I was seriously ill and unable to rise, so no proof that you're so sick. So there was another sermon to tell me that I should not capitulate to illness. I answered her that I knew that here one was regarded as seriously ill only when one was in one's last agony. However, knowing that she was about to give me a lecture, I replied that at the present time I was in no need of being incited to great zeal. And once again, I remained alone in my cell. My heart was crushed with sorrow, and bitterness flooded my soul. And I repeated these words, "Welcome, New Year, welcome, cup of bitterness. My Jesus, my heart is eager for you, and yet the gravity of my illness prevents me from participating physically in a community prayer, and I am suspected of being lazy. My sufferings are becoming greater. After dinner, Mother Superior Irene looked in for a moment, but she left very soon. I intended to ask to have Father Andres come to my cell to hear my confession, but I restrained myself from making the request for two reasons. First, not to give occasion for murmuring, as had happened above in respect to Holy Mass. And secondly, because I would not even be able to make the confession. since I felt I would burst into tears like a little child. A while later, one of the sisters came along and again reproved me. There is some milk with butter in the oven. Sister, why don't you drink it? I answered, there was no one to bring it to me. When night fell, the physical sufferings increased, and we joined my moral sufferings. Night and suffering. The solemn silence of the night made it possible for me to suffer freely. My body was stretched on the wood of the cross. I writhed in terrible pain until 11 o'clock. I went in spirit to the tabernacle and uncovered the ciporium. Leaning my head on the rim of the cup, and all my tears flowed silently toward the heart of him who alone understands what pain and suffering is, and experienced the sweetness of this suffering, and my soul came to desire the sweet agony which I would not have exchanged for all the world's treasures. The Lord gave me strength of spirit and love towards those through whom these sufferings came. This then was the first day of the year. Also on this day, I felt the prayer of a beautiful soul, probably Father Sopoko or Father Andres, who was praying for me and giving me in spirit his priestly blessing. I answered in return with my own ardent prayer. O most gracious Lord, how merciful it is on your part to judge each one according to his conscience and his discernment, and not according to people's talk. My spirit delights and feeds more and more on your wisdom, which I am getting to know more and more deeply. In this, the vastness of your mercy becomes more and more manifest to me. O my Jesus, the effect of all this knowledge on my soul is that I'm being transformed into a flame of love toward you, my Lord. So long for that day. January 2nd, 1938. As I was preparing for Holy Communion today, Jesus demanded that I should write more. Lord, not only but the graces which he grants me, but also about external matters, and this for the consolation of many souls. So many things happened in our life. It happened to us also. So you have to write it down. Just give us consolation. We are not alone. After that night of suffering, when the priest, Father Mautzinger, entered my cell with the Lord Jesus, such fervor filled my whole being that I felt that if the priest had tarried a little longer, Jesus himself would have leaped out of his hand and come to me. After the communion, the Lord said to me, if the priest had not brought me to you, I would have come to myself under the same species. My daughter, your sufferings of this night obtained the grace of mercy for an immense number of souls. So she is not suffering for herself, also for many other sinners. She offered all this. God grace for me. My daughter, I have something to tell you. I replied, speak Jesus, for first, for your words. It displeases me that because the sisters were murmuring, you did not ask to have Father Andres hear your confession in your cell. Know that because of this, you gave them even greater cause for murmuring. She just avoided to the sister to speak at the back, so she didn't ask for the priest. But Jesus said, no, worse. Very humbly, I beg the Lord to forgive this. Oh, my Master, rebuild me. Do not overlook my faults, and do not let me err. Many times you think on a human side, protect yourself mostly, protect ourselves. But at times we want to avoid more problems, and more problems come in. Because this is not the will of God. She felt in her side, in herself, she would like to ask the priest to come for confession, but she didn't ask, just to avoid murmuring from other people. But he said, worse. You don't ask small murmuring. Because everybody understand her. So even she didn't do it, it's worse. Oh my Jesus, when I'm misunderstood and my soul is in anguish, I want to stay a while alone with you. The words of mortals give me no comfort. Do not send me, O Lord, such messengers as speak only for themselves and say what their own nature dictates to them. Such consolers make me very tired. It's a real dialogue. January 6, 1938. Today, when the chaplain, that's Father Theodore, brought the Lord Jesus, a light issued from the host. It's light striking my heart and filling me with a great fire of love. Jesus was letting me know that I should answer the inspirations of grace with more faithfulness, and that my vigilance should be more subtle. The Lord also gave me to know that many bishops were considering the question of this feast, as well as a certain lay person. Some were enthusiastic about this work of God, while others regarded it with disbelief. But in spite of everything, the result was great glory for the work of God. Mother Irene and Mother Mary Joseph were giving some kind of a report to these dignitaries. But they were being questioned, not so much about the work as about myself. As regards the work itself, there was no doubt, since the glory of God was already being proclaimed. I feel better today. I was glad I'll be able to meditate more during the holy hour. Then I heard a voice. You will not be in good health. Do not put off the sacrament of penance, because this displeases me. Pay little attention to the murmurs of those around you. This surprised me, because I'm feeling better today, but I gave it no more thought. When a sister would switch off the light, I began the holy hour. But after a while, something went wrong with my heart. I suffered in silence until 11 o'clock. But I began to feel so bad that I woke up. book up sister Fabiola, who is my roommate. And she gave me some drops, which brought me a little relief so that I could lie down. I now understand the Lord's warning. I decided to call any priest at all the next day and to open the secrets of my soul to him. But that was not all. While I was praying for sinners and offering all my sufferings for them, the evil spirit could not stand that. So not only there's her weakness, still the evil spirit is against her also. Taking the form of an apparition, he said, "Devil, do not pray for sinners, but for yourself, for you will be damned." She saw the sign, like Jesus, no? The face of Jesus speaking to her this way. Terrible. Huh? Paying no attention to Satan, continued to pray with redoubled fervor for sinners. The evil spirit howled with fury, "Oh, if I had power over you," and disappeared. They have no power on her. I saw that my strength, my sufferings and prayer shackled Satan and snatched many souls from his clutches. Jesus, lover of human salvation, draw all souls to the divine life. May the greatness of your mercy be praised here on earth and eternity. O great lover of souls, who in your boundless compassion open the salutary fountain of mercy, so that weak souls may be fortified in this life's pilgrimage. Your mercy runs through our life like a golden thread and maintains in good order the contact of our being with God. For he does not need anything to make him happy, so everything is solely the work of his mercy. My senses are transfixed with joy when God grants me a deeper awareness of that great attribute of his, namely his unfathomable mercy. January 7th, 1938, first Friday of the month. This morning during Mass, for a brief while, I saw the suffering Savior. What struck me was that Jesus was so peaceful amid his great sufferings. I understood that this was a lesson for me on what my outward behavior should be in the midst of my various sufferings. Inside pain, outside peace. Can we do that? We want to attract people, consolation. For quite a while, quite a long while, I felt pain in my hands, feet, and side. Stigmata, the five wounds of the Lord. No? Then I saw a certain sinner who, profiting from my sufferings, drew near to the Lord. All this for starving souls, that they may not die of starvation. I went to confession to the chaplain, Father Theodore, today. Jesus comforted me through this priest. "Oh, my mother, Church of God, you are a true mother who understands her children. Oh, how good it is that Jesus will judge according to our conscience and not according to people's talk and judgments. O inconceivable goodness, I see you full of goodness in the very act of judgment. Although I'm feeling weak and my nature is clamoring for rest, I feel the inspiration of grace telling me to take hold of myself and write for the comfort of souls whom I love so much and with whom I will share all eternity. And they desire eternal life for them so ardently that this is why I use all my free moments, no matter how short, for writing in the way that Jesus wishes of me. So all this writing, so big a book, so just minutes by minutes, seconds by seconds, whenever she feels a little bit less pain, she just write. Whatever inspiration she comes to write. So all these things, we have to thank her, Sister Faustina, for her effort to give us so much light. Pain inside, smile outside. Oh. One more phrase. January 8th, during Holy Mass, I had a moment of knowledge concerning Father S. The great glory is being given to God through our mutual efforts. And even though we are far from each other, we are often together because we are united by common goal. I think it's Father Sopoko. He's the one who worked on the Divine Mercy. She worked with Vatican, with the bishops, you know. She suffered a lot. He suffered a lot also, this priest. And she suffered in the colony, this message to Divine Mercy. Oh, my Jesus, my only desire, although I wanted to receive you today with greater fervor than ever, nevertheless, besides on this day, my soul is drier than ever. My faith grows in power. And so the fruits of your coming, Lord, will be abundant. Although many a time you come without touching my senses and reign only in the loftier part of me, the senses too sometimes rejoice at your coming. So today we celebrate the feast of the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist. So we thank the Lord that we can have this chance. Can you imagine? Sister Faustina many times cannot attend Mass. She is so sick and rebuked by the sister. Why don't you? She cannot. But we can. But where are we? Our heart. I think we have to pay more attention. Jesus loved her the same Jesus loved us. She responds to the love of Jesus. That's a dialogue. It's an example for us. You can ask the same thing. Talk to Jesus the way Faustina is talking to Jesus. Don't hesitate. Before Mass, during Mass, you know, share your feeling. Especially when you read the Holy Communion. You remember last week? Jesus says, many people receive me like a dead object. Hurt Jesus so much. So if we have to pay something back to Jesus, you know, for the sake of this more fire. Well,